The following podcast will contain spoilers, tangents, hot takes, and excessive foul language. Viewer discretion is advised. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, horror fans, and welcome to episode 245 of Frightmares. I'm your host, Austin Proctor, and joining me today for 2008's Cloverfield is a very sassy Gabrielle Proctor.
I have a lot of feelings right now.
Yeah, but you're not sassy for that reason. You're just very keyed up today.
I'm very keyed up today. Yeah. Let's talk about this movie.
Probably has nothing to do with anything I've done. I'm perfectly...
Absolutely.
I'm totally innocent. What do you mean?
Yeah. Totally.
Mr. Chris Bishop was going to join us today for this one. Well, he's going to join me, and he's unfortunately sick, though. He's a teacher, and you know how that life goes when kids just come to school sick. So.
Yep.
So he's dealing with, luckily it's not the Rona, thank God. Also, I can't believe it's been 4 years since that happened. It has been 4 years since
that happened. I got two friends who got it right now.
I blinked and it was like, oh, now it's 4 years later. Oh, God.
You live in a different house and you have a child.
Ugh, God, I really blinked really hard on that one. So yeah, Cloverfield, this is a movie that I saw in theaters. 2008, back when it came out, and I want to. I do want to. You saw it in theaters too?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Yep, I was 18 in 2008, so I was just on the cusp of being able to see movie or R-rated movies in theaters. But this isn't even R-rated, funny enough, which I didn't even fucking know until I did.
I'm not surprised it's not.
Well, there's no swearing.
Nope.
I mean, there's like shit and damn or whatever, but there's no swearing.
Which is. A feat, considering what I'd be saying if I were experiencing that.
Fuck, shit, piss.
It'd be just nonstop. Fuck.
Yeah. So I didn't even know it wasn't R-rated. It's so funny because people, some people always are like, oh, PG-13 movies aren't scary. Well, I'd argue this is one of the scariest PG-13 movies and one of the most well done, in my opinions, next to The Ring, which I know you're not really a fan of. But yeah, Cloverfield is a good time. Very excited to talk about this one. It's found footage, and you know me. I love found footage. And you do too, for the most part.
Yeah, I like found footage.
Yeah, found footage is a good time.
Depends on what it is. Sometimes it's not working for me, but typically I do enjoy it.
Yeah, well, that's good because, like I said, found footage is one of my favorites. And speaking of found footage, real quick, I wanted to talk about, because like this came out in what I consider, I'm dubbing it the golden age of found footage. Because the golden age of found footage to me was between the years of 2007 and 2015. Oh, cool. It's just not there. Oh, wait. I put it on my phone. Standby. I was like, shit, I didn't write this down. I vividly remember writing this down.
Honestly, now thinking about this, this makes me want to watch Chronicle.
We own it. We can watch
it. Yeah, I feel like that one got super underrated. But that's, I think, partially because people didn't like the advantage they took of the camera angles. And like, yeah, well, he was telekinetic. He could get those sick angles. I don't know what you want from me.
What do you want? So 27. Yes, 27. 2007 to 2014 is what I dubbed the golden age of found footage because a lot of stuff was coming out that was so goddamn convincing. Like, listen to some of these movies, right? You probably don't want to know all of them, but the Poughkeepsie Tapes, mm-hmm. Wreck. Yep. Cloverfield.
Yep.
Oh, okay. I
thought you were asking if I knew them.
No, I'm saying you probably don't know all of them, but
I'm not supposed to be speaking.
Cloverfield, Quarantine, Paranormal Activity was launched in that era. The Last Exorcism, Troll Hunter, The Tunnel, Apollo 18, Grave Encounters, the VHS franchise lost in that launched, not lost. The Bay, Devil's Pass, Europa Report, The Conspiracy, Descent into Darkness, The Den, Alien Abduction, The Sacrament, As Above, So Below, Exists, and The Taking of Deborah Logan. That is a solid just era of found footage movies that were coming out that were just hauntingly convincing.
Yeah, it was a good time. I think.
Did you hear any of that? Because you were on your phone for all of it.
I was listening.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Name all the movies I just said.
They definitely started with the letter. No, you said Poughkeepsie. You said Poughkeepsie Tapes. You said
okay, yes, yes, yes.
Paranormal Activity.
All right.
This movie. Oh, I'm sorry. What?
Oh, my God. You are so much today. But anyways, yeah, I just think that was such a good era. Not that there isn't good found footage that comes out now, but I just think that era was just...
No, because we saw some found footage where you're just like, where is that camera hiding?
Yeah.
What is that, like, who's at that angle with that camera? There, we've seen some where the camera angles don't make any sense or the consistency is off. Like, we have one handheld camera, except for this one that's conveniently also over here for the wide shots. Like, what?
What? Yeah. So, if you agree with me, maybe I'll put a poll.
Raise your hand.
Raise your hand. Go.
Did you raise it?
Did you? Are you doing it? Anyways, I told you I had a wild would you rather. I had a wild would you rather for you. So this one sucks. Would you rather, and this is me, not just like someone you know. This is your husband that you've known for like 7 years. Would you rather me be a hardcore Christian or a hardcore vegan?
Oh, God.
Both of those suck, don't they? Those are both, and not just like the quiet vegan that eats their food. No, I'm talking about like the vegan teacher.
The one that just gets pissed off every time you eat meat.
Yeah, like that. And then, you know, like we're praying before we go anywhere. I totally stole this from your mom's house podcast where it's Tom Segura and his wife, I believe. I think she came up with this. Her credit goes to her. But I heard it and I was like, oh, my God, I have to ask Gabby.
Look, I'm going to take what I'm pretty sure is a soundbite from TikTok here. And I am going to love you. You know, I committed to this marriage and I'm going to love you till death do us part for your very short lived life.
So which one?
Neither.
Yeah, Tom Segura was like, is there a third person that I can just kill?
There's the third, the kill option. Isn't there a kill option?
God, both of those are awful. I was like, no, I'm not picking. I can't. There's no fucking way you're going to make me pick. I know. Would you rather me be criticizing you every time you eat or praying before we eat every meal?
No, see, it's not even the praying. I don't care about saying grace. It's the nagging about church or like,
Taylor Sunday.
Swift's a tool of the devil. Like, oh, I can't. It's exhausting.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to church every Sunday or Saturday.
You is that the royal we?
Royal we. Yeah, it's that's a rough one. That's almost impossible to answer because usually the would you rather, I'm like, all right, yeah, I can pick one. But that one, I'm like, no,
I guess I'd go with the vegan and then never eat at home.
Oh, that's fucking great. Let's move on here. I had to ask you that and I figured it was appropriate on the podcast because I had to get your live reaction and record it forever. Let's move on to the IMDb roundup. Whip crack. This is Creature Feature February. Welcome back. And this one is actually a soul creature. Well, I guess there's, you know, there's ones that fall off of the main creature.
There's little extras.
But this is like a main big, it's a kaiju, you know, that's what it is, essentially.
Yeah.
So, have we seen this prior to this viewing? Duh.
Several many times.
Been watching this since it came out 16 years ago. Oof. That's a long time.
Yeah.
Watched it in theaters. I remember going to because I worked at the theater between 2007 and 2009, I believe. And I remember this one coming out. And I love, they kind of pulled like a Blair Witch with this one where they marketed it. Wow, that's fucky to say. As like it came to the theater under like some alias. It wasn't called Cloverfield. And even the trailer was very vague and didn't really hint at much. And, you know, you were kind of wondering what the hell was going on with this movie. And I think there was a website for it, too, I'm pretty sure, where you could go and, like, get this information. So they kind of pulled, like a Blair Witch on a smaller scale.
Yeah, because it's kind of hard to say a monster destroyed New York City and nobody noticed.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So, to a degree, they did it.
To a degree. And, yeah, obviously, once you saw the monster, you're like, okay, this is, you know, this is how real is this? I think I would have heard about that on the news. But yeah, I remember going to the theater and watching this and just being so blown away by it. And again, this was right, Quarantine came out this same year. So that was, you know, obviously it's, you know, it's a movie, but you're like, man, this is convincingly real with how good they did it. So this is Cloverfield from 2008, released on January 18th of that year in the USA. rated PG-13 for violence, terror, and disturbing images. Mild sex and nudity from that one scene in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Severe violence and gore, moderate profanity, mild alcohol, drugs, and smoking, and severe frightening and intense scenes. Coming in at an hour and 25 minutes, it is a horror sci-fi thriller directed by Matt Reeves, who went on a banger run of films after this. He also did Let Me In, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, War for the Planet of the Apes, and The Batman. Pretty fucking solid run. Written by Drew Goddard, who also wrote The Cabin in the Woods, World War Z, The Martian, and 39 episodes of Daredevil.
Nice.
It was also produced by J.J. Abrams, who you might know from... No, that's James Gunn. I always get these fuckers confused. With J.J. Abrams... Trek. No. Did he?
Star Trek.
And then he also did...
Star Trek. No,
hold on. God damn it. He also did some of the Star Wars ones, right, too? He did 7 and 9. Because Rian Johnson, for Rian Johnson, whatever your name is.
Lens Flare.
Fucking... Composed by Michael Giacchino, if I'm saying that right. He has 168 credits.
Mm-hmm.
He's done some shit. The Incredibles, Mission Impossible 3, Ratatouille, Star Trek, Up, Let Me In, Super 8, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, War for the Planet of the Apes, Rogue One, Spider-Man Homecoming, Coco, Jojo Rabbit, The Batman, and many, many more.
Mm-hmm.
Did stuff and things.
Yes, he did.
Cinematography by Michael Bonvillain, which is fun, who also did Zombieland and American Ultra. He really likes to work with, not Michael Cera. What's his name? Jesse Eisenberg.
There you go.
Did it. Nailed it. Edited by a man named Kevin Stitt, who also edited Lethal Weapon 4, X-Men, A Knight's Tale, and Jurassic World. Starring Lizzie Kaplan as Marlena, who was also in Mean Girls as Janice Ian.
Facts.
Then we have Jessica Lucas as Lily, who was also in Evil Dead 2013 as Olivia. Then we've got TJ Miller as HUD, who was also in Deadpool as Weasel. He's also a comedian. He also completely tanked his career by being a pervert or something. I can't remember what he did.
No, he went crazy. You're thinking of the other guy who was a pervert.
Chris D'Elia?
Yeah.
I could have sworn there was some sexual misconduct with TJ Miller.
Let's be honest, there probably was. I just thought he went totally crazy. Who can keep track of what these comedians are tanking their careers with these days?
Seriously.
They're unwell.
It seems to mostly be sexual misconduct. You've got Cosby. You've got the red-haired guy.
Yeah, but then you got people like Roseanne Barr who goes total right-wing nutter. Yeah. And you're just like, what happened?
What the hell? Michael Stahl David as Rob Hawkins, who was also in In Your Eyes, I'm assuming that's what that's supposed to be, as Dylan Kershaw. Mike Vogel as Jason Hawkins, who was also in The Help as Johnny Foote. And Odette Annabelle as Beth McIntyre, who was also in The Unborn as Casey Belden.
Oh, yeah.
This movie shockingly only cost $25 million, which is probably because it was found footage style and, scam call.
Nonprofit.
Oh, boy. No, thank you. $25 million budget, grossing $172.4 million, which is what you would call a slam dunk.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm surprised. And that's why there was probably two more of them. I mean, you had 10 Cloverfield Lane, which I thought was okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I need to rewatch that one. And then you had the Cloverfield Paradox, which took place in space. And that one was weird.
See, I liked 10 Cloverfield Lane. I think they messed up, so... Okay, I was going to mention this when you were talking about Quarantine, where they kind of fucked it up with the marketing. Like, Quarantine, you see the final shot of that movie is the fucking poster.
Yeah.
Terrible. And also, sorry, but the main actress, I really like her. However, she is easily recognizable from Dexter by that point. So if they had gotten a lesser known actress and not shown the fucking end of the film, they could have marketed that way better. Not to say that movie didn't pop off, because it did.
Yeah, the movie was great.
Same thing with 10 Cloverfield Lane. The whole point is that this man has trapped people in his bunker because he is convinced there are aliens outside, and you don't know if he's right or he's just fucking crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have them on the fucking posters.
Hmm.
Yeah, they have them on the posters. They have it in the trailers.
Aliens?
Yeah.
Oh.
Wasn't in a lot of them, but it was in enough of them that it's like, oh, so it's real. So it kind of takes away from that whole tension. But if you watch it for the tension, really good.
I don't see it on the poster.
No, I didn't say all the posters. I said some of the posters.
Oh, there's some posters with the monsters on it. Yeah, yep. That's kind of silly.
Yeah, you're basically just giving the reveal away. That's a problem. It's like, I think they did the same thing with the second Kingsman, where they showed one of the characters coming back to life.
Oh, that's good.
Who clearly died in the first film, and you're like, well, that's like a big reveal. Why would that be in the trailer?
Yeah, you gotta wonder why they do, why do?
I don't know. I thought we usually talk about movies we also watched recently, too.
Oh, we were supposed to do that.
Classic.
Classic. Mm. We'll do that. You're going to be on the next episode. We'll do that then.
Okay.
It's the month of love where we watch all rom-coms for 14.
Well, I did put one in there that was themed for your movie month for this podcast and for my movie
month. Love and Monsters.
Yes, I did.
Even love survives in the apocalypse.
And don't settle.
Don't settle.
Don't settle.
Don't drive 85 miles. To go see someone or walk. Don't walk 85 miles to see someone. Just don't. It's a waste of time, especially in the apocalypse. Who has the time?
But hey, those effects held up really well.
Held up? It came out in 2019.
I know. We've seen some movies have already aged poorly since then.
Yeah.
But I'm saying they look really good. I think they're going to hold up for a while.
Yeah, their monsters look really cool. That's
what I'm saying.
I gave it an extra half star because of that.
I liked your review was like, if this is the apocalypse we're going with, I'm gonna tap out.
Yeah, that was my review. I was like, if this is our apocalypse, no, I'm good. Zombies, you know, sure, whatever, and virus infection, all right, but giant, huge fucking crap.
Bugs and lizards and shit, no.
Hell, just squash me to death. Just, I'm going to go purposefully stand under one of their legs so they can crush me to death.
Lay under one of those giant snails.
I'm not doing it.
Actually, I'm just going to ride one. I don't know if it'll notice me up there. I'm just going to climb up its back.
It's not
like
just
I
a boulder,
here.
It's a rock.
But anyway.
Anywho.
It was filmed in.
Yes, grossing $172.4 million. It's a lot of money. The movie was filmed in New York and California. Much of it was filmed in California on New York Street. Mm-hmm. So that's fun. You can watch this on Paramount Plus. Movies that came out around the same time, we have National Treasure, Book of Secrets, P.S. I Love You, Sweeney Todd, Walk Hard, AVP Requiem, The Bucket List, There Will Be Blood, One Missed Call, Boogeyman, 2, White Noise, 2, 27 Dresses, Rambo, the remake, one of the greatest movies of all time, Strange Wilderness, so dumb, love that movie, In Bruges, and Definitely Maybe.
I haven't seen 8 of these.
Jesus Christ. I don't think you've seen Walk Hard.
Correct.
You haven't seen Bucket List.
Nope.
Haven't seen There Will Be Blood.
Nope.
Haven't seen Boogeyman 2.
That's correct.
I know, we watched White Noise, too.
Yeah, I almost said no, and I'm like, oh, no, wait, we watched that.
Haven't seen Rambo.
Correct.
Haven't seen Strange Wilderness?
No, you showed that to me.
Have you seen In Bruges?
Yes, I saw that before.
So you haven't seen National Treasure, Book of Secrets?
Correct.
P.S. I Love You?
Never watched it.
So that's 7.
No, you missed one.
No, I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
No, you've seen One Missed Call. You've seen 27 Dresses.
Oh, crap, I saw AVP Requiem. I forgot we watched all those together.
You silly. That's a lot of that. I think that's the highest that you haven't seen before.
Yes, well, this is when a shit ton of movies started coming out, and I don't care about National Treasure movies, so there's that.
I don't give a shit about National Treasure.
One Missed Call, however, was my ringtone for a long time when it came out.
Oh, I know. You told me that on the One Missed Call episode we did, whenever that was.
Several episodes
ages
ago. Many moons ago.
Many moons we have traveled. IMDb summary, a group of friends venture deep into the streets of New York on a rescue mission during a rampaging monster attack.
That sounds so different than how that film is.
What do you mean?
The tone of that sentence is like, friends go on an adventure. And it's more like, oh God, we're running for our lives.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah.
The tone of this sentence implies a different tone to that film.
It kind of does. So overall thoughts on the movie, what hit me with it.
I really enjoy this movie. It's a fun movie. Do I think the main guy is stupid? Yes.
Explain.
He is 100% the reason all his friends are dead.
All my friends are dead. Yeah, kind of.
I also think it's funny because, like, like I said, I do enjoy this movie. I like the monster, like the concept. That the monster is like kind of wandering around the city from, you know, he's over by the ocean, kind of does a little trek into the city there by like Ellis Island and Statue of Liberty, of that, all that. So when they're crossing the bridge nearest to that area and they see his path of destruction, apparently he was like, nah, I didn't kill enough people over there. Loops back round to obliterate a bridge and then goes back to his business in the city. I'm like, what path? By the way, someone, if you ever want to know, someone bothered to Google map that the kaiju's little path around the city. But it's really like that Helen Hunt moment in Twister was like, you've never seen it miss this house and miss that house and come after you. Like, this thing was like, I'm gonna fuck these people up.
Well, it probably
saw, let me circle back around. They got past me. I'm gonna go back.
Probably saw everyone getting away and it was like, not on my watch.
Not on my fucking watch.
I don't fucking think so, bro.
And then went back to what it was doing. So I thought that was a little silly. But yeah, that guy should have really focused on his friends. Like, congratulations. Did that work out for you?
He was focusing on the girl who was across town.
And what did we learn from this film about love?
Don't be
what
in love.
What did we learn? We learned don't fucking just not say your shit and let your moment pass you by because you were too freaked out about how it would work, because she wouldn't have been in her building needing rescuing. You all could have survived if you had gotten off your ass and just said what you feel.
So it's his fault.
Oh, no, 100%. Everybody's death is his fault. I mean, they were all going to go to safety. I mean, his brother dying was 100% the kaiju monster's fault, but they could have gone literally in a different direction. And he's like, no, we have to go towards the danger because I'm a moron.
I'm wondering what exactly, it's been wondering this my entire existence. Well, I guess that doesn't make sense because it came out in 2008. For this movie's entire existence, I've been wondering what the fuck part of the monster that was on the bridge, because he has a tail, but the tail doesn't look like that. He's got little T-Rex-y kind of arms or big, or like, you know, style.
Big style T-Rex-y
arms. Well, like,
arms.
They're like the shape of T-Rex arms, but they're like,
reverse jointed, like.
Yeah.
Birds.
And this thing that goes like on the bridge, this is a huge, like, long tentacle looking thing. It looks nothing like any part of the monster, and it's driven me mad. This, like, every time I watch it, I'm like, what part of the monster is that? You were like, oh, it's probably his tail.
It's his dick.
That's it. He's just he's just dragging that monster. That was the real monster of the movie.
Nah, it's like a duck where it, like, comes out and shit.
His one-eyed fucking snake. Yes, that definitely. Definitely. I think I killed my wife. Please don't die. I need you. We have a baby.
Continue.
Overall thoughts on the movie for me, I agree with you.
Good. It's, that's enough of that.
Yeah. Next point. No, I just think it's a really good found footage movie. This one gets a lot of love because it's kind of more mainstream found footage. It is kind of more in the, you know, public eye or whatever you want to call it. Just like, you know, Quarantine, they had some good moments. You know what I mean? It's a good time. And the creature effects still hold up. I think it's very convincing even 16 years later. Are there some wonky bits? Of course. Overall, I'd say they did a great job with this.
I do think it's funny, though, speaking of effects, that they, you know, had to have the Statue of Liberty head that gets thrown at them and whatnot, and how they made it the size that it actually was. And everyone said it wasn't believable because everyone pictures it being a lot bigger than
it
is.
It's too small, so they had to make it bigger.
Yeah, so that way it was more believable. Speaking of not believable, that two different bitches be walking all over goddamn New York in heels. They walk through a department store and they're wearing, and one of them is wearing dresses. I'd have been like, let me get some of these men's sweatpants. I don't give a shit. I'll tie the waist, but like, I'm wearing a fucking party dress and heels.
Just waiting.
Let me get some comfortable clothes on for this shit, because especially once they knew that those things could attack them and scratch them up, I'd be like, let me get some coverage on here.
And I guess that's what separates you from them. They were more concerned about living than they were about fashion.
It's not about fashion. It's about what's it reasonable to wear. It's like that Jurassic Park where she running in the heels. Not saying you can't do that. However, I'm saying she could have taken her shoes off to run.
Yeah, that was impressive that she did that.
I mean, you can. I've run in heels. You can do it. It's just not like the ideal scenario for not snapping your ankle.
Doesn't make any sense.
I did, however, revise my opinion on the shoe issue about why they didn't go back into the house to get the shoes after I remembered that like they kind of sheared off the front half of that building. So
yeah,
but they did climb a skyscraper that was sideways. So you know what? I'm taking it back. You could have gone to the fucking building and gotten some shoes.
So much is happening right now. So
it's bullshit.
Much.
Anyway.
All right. Talk about likes here. I've got a bunch of likes. Obviously, I like the found footage aspect. I don't think this movie would have been as effective or scary if it was filmed the traditional way. Found footage, found footage, POV style, gives it that sense of realism. And especially when you're talking about it. Like, I can't name another movie that does what this movie did. Like, in New York, big monster attacking the city, found footage style.
Mm-hmm.
This is like one of a kind, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I know there's other movies that are found footage that involve monsters, but I'm specifically speaking on, like, in New York with a giant creature that is attacking and, you know, destroying the city.
Okay, you, me, what's the crew limit? Five people? Three people.
For filming in New York?
Yeah.
It is two people.
No, it was three.
I'm pretty sure.
Director, cameraman, actor.
Oh, yeah, you have to. Yeah, the actor.
Okay,
yeah.
You, me, a third person. You dressed as Mothman. We're going to make it happen.
Oh, my God. We'll call it the Mothman Prophecy. Oh, no, it's already taken.
Damn it. I'm directing.
Fuck that.
You're the Mothman. You're tall as shit.
I'm getting typecast because I'm tall.
Just wait till we get the antenna on you.
Good God. Good God, man. I really like the lack of score. You know, we usually with found footage movies, there is a lack of score already. But, you know, there's plenty of them that use score. And that doesn't make fucking sense for a found footage movie. There would not be thematic noises. There's literally no score in this. Even the final credits at the end, there's like a minute or two of silence before something kicks in. So I love that. Great effects. Blending the set with the CG worked very well. I love that it takes place all over the course of one night. That's like my favorite type of found footage movie where it's one night, like one tape of camera. Love that. There's some solid comedy, although, you know, at times I felt it was ill-placed. I wish TJ Miller would just shut the fuck up sometimes. Because, you know, sometimes it was funny, but other times I'm like, okay, if you were doing this in the moment, I'd slap you. Like, this is not a time to be joking. This is life and death.
Well, that's
shut
like,
up.
We were watching Long Shot last night, and we were talking about how, like, Seth Rogen's ability to, like, panic ramble is actually kind of charming the way he does it.
I love it. It's it's one of my favorite things in life.
Which is why that movie works so well, because he does it really well. It's really well-timed, and it feels sincere.
It does. It feels so real.
Yeah.
It feels like my inner monologue on a daily basis, just, like, all the time.
Yeah. But then you put that kind of thing, you got TJ Miller doing it, and it feels like they were like, okay, just ramble to fill the silence. It doesn't feel sincere. It feels like I feel like I'm going to just talk so there's no silence.
I'm sure it was probably a lot of, you know, he probably improvised a lot because he is a comedian.
Yeah, so it felt out of place.
Yeah.
Like, if you had someone more like Seth Rogen doing it where it's more just like that panic and he's like, okay, I'm going to shut up. That probably would have felt more sincere and felt more real, not just we got to fill sound or fill a void
space.
Here.
Yeah. I like that there's an actual reason to be filming. There's a lot of times in found footage where you're like, all right, you probably should focus on not like filming this, but like giant monster attacking the city. Yeah, we're going to get footage of that. That's fucking amazing. Also, I really love the looting scene is really fun because nothing makes me laugh harder than people like, all right, there's a fucking emergency happening outside, but in case I make it through this, I'm going to have a dope surround sound system. Like, that always kills me. 5 minutes into the movie, you know, like 5 minutes into the monster attacking, it's like, I got to steal all this shit. And then the monster, I really like the monster. Great design. So that's my likes. You have any specific likes about this one?
I feel like I said the stuff I liked it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just making sure. A couple dislikes here. Not too many, though. The dislikes, you know, can be very shaky cam at times. Like, for a found footage movie, I was like, man, this is People were reportedly getting sick in theaters because of how jarring the camera shots were sometimes. So that's one of my dislikes, because it's like, man, this is rough. Not a lot, but the bridge scene, the monster tentacle, already talked about that. And Beth's building would definitely not be standing like
that. 100%. That building would not just be casually leaned over.
No way.
Structurally sound for climbing on top of.
Not even close.
And
we already talked about your dislikes, the shoes, Rob being
Rob selfishly leading all his friends towards danger.
To be fair, though, all the friends could have just been like, "Fuck you, I'm leaving." You know,
and
like
they agreed to stay because it was her best friend.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
Her best friend's boyfriend had literally just died in front of her face.
Yeah, I would have been like, "I'm leaving."
But yeah, I honestly think that the fact that they kept running towards the danger, like. Let's assess where this bitch is going. Okay, I'm going to go as far in the opposite direction as I possibly can right now.
Yeah, just run as fast as you can.
Like, I'm not going to go towards where the military is to get an exit. There are several bridges off this goddamn island. I'll go find a different one.
Military is going left. I'm going right. They're going towards the danger. I'm going away.
Yeah.
My hot take for this movie is found footage is a great genre and should not be slept on. This is a prime example of a great found footage movie. I know found footage gets a lot of hate, and I'm here to say nay on that. It's my hot take.
So you're a horse?
Nay. You got a hot take.
No, my shoes was the hot take, I feel like. I just feel, I don't know, maybe in the moment I wouldn't have thought of it, but I feel like I'd be like, what the fuck am I doing in these heels if I'm going to end up having to run all over town?
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
So since there was little known about this movie, I was hooked pretty early into it, you know what I mean? Like, pretty much once the power went out, they went downstairs and the Statue of Liberty's head got yeeted at the building and like crumbled some of the building and went down the street. I was like, yeah, I'm hooked. And you kind of assume at that point it's a monster, but you're not really entirely sure until you see it. And then that's when I was like, all right, there's a giant monster attacking New York. This is fucking cool. So that was when I was hooked.
Yeah, I also was in on this pretty early. I enjoy this film a lot. It's fun to watch. And you're immediately like, well, when's going to happen? What is that? When are you going to see the whole thing? Because you really only get glimpses of the monster.
For a while, yeah.
For a while. So
and then you finally see it and you're like, damn, that is impressive.
Yeah, so.
I was never lost at any point in this movie. I know, I guess lost for you is probably the shoes still.
No.
Are the shoes just everywhere?
I think the only thing that lost me is honestly over time, TJ Miller's character gets more and more unlikable for me.
Yeah.
For instance, the whole... You know, Rob's upset because he slept with Beth and she's dating someone else now because he dropped the ball on talking to her. And then TJ Miller's character proceeds to have a conversation with everybody at the party with a camera that's going to be given to Rob about how they slept together. And you're like,
dude,
all I can think is what? Who's so fucking dumb to not only share a secret on camera, but then record you telling everybody that secret they don't want you to know to give to him. Like, who's that fucking dumb?
He is.
So, yeah.
My horror moment is the helicopter crash. It is impressively filmed. Also, how the fuck did they survive that?
Great question.
But it's because you think, I love that moment because you think they're getting away. They're in the helicopter. You're like, oh, happy ending. And then the monster lurches forward and like, you know, hits the helicopter. They go down. So it was kind of like a bait and switch. You're like, oh, they're going to be.
Yeah, miss this house. Miss that house. Come after you. Yeah. That thing was fucking gunning for those people.
Yeah, it was like, fuck this chopper specifically.
Fuck Rob. I'm getting him.
Yeah. Did you have a horror moment?
The train tunnel scene when all the rats start running and they're like, what are they doing? I'm like, no. As soon as I see all the rats running, fuck whatever's behind us, because if they're running, that means there's danger in the opposite direction.
Danger.
Running with the rats.
I'm in danger.
So they're like, this is gross. No, this is an early warning sign. Move your ass.
Move your
ass. But once they turn on the night vision and you see the things on the ceiling, like, oh, God, no.
There's more things.
Yeah.
I'm good. My favorite kill was Marlena, just because it was so sudden.
Hell yeah.
She just explodes.
I don't feel so good leaking from her eyes.
We got a bite over here. Yeah.
Fucking you don't crazy. Look so good.
You don't look so good either.
Yeah.
Favorite character is probably Marlena. Agreed. Yeah. Least favorite character, I'm assuming for you, is Rob.
It's a tie between the men.
Toxic men.
But I like Marlena definitely, because not only was she clearly uncomfortable being there, like you really felt like she's like, I guess I'm along for this fucking ride. But she stepped up real fast when people were in danger to her own detriment. And that's a boss move. The guys, however, were doing some dumb shit the whole movie. Getting women killed.
I was not a fan of Beth, and it's mainly specifically for one reason of her bringing the dude to the party. Like, fuck you. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I know Rob is a doofy guy who should have spoken up and been a man or whatever, but like, fuck you for bringing to my going away party. You're bringing a dude. Fuck you.
I honestly suspect that she only brought him as a human shield to avoid getting pulled into some awkward side conversation. Or to be like, oh, no, see, it's totally fine. I don't mind that you never called me.
Yeah.
Because she probably thought, based on how the whole setup went, she probably thought he didn't give a shit about her. And she's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So she probably did it as a defense thing.
Yeah.
But it was a weird move.
My favorite line, which might be yours, but it's when Marlena is talking to HUD. And he's like, oh, my God. He's like, you know who Superman is? She's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know who Superman is? Are you aware of Garfield?
I fucking love that shit.
That's my favorite line. It's so funny. It kills me every
time. He's trying to, oh my God, him trying to flirt with her the whole movie was so exhausting. Like, buddy, she's not interested. It's not going to happen. She hasn't been interested
from
the second she made eye contact with you.
Welcome to most men. Like, cannot take the hint.
No shit. It's established you've met her before, and she still doesn't have a fucking clue who you are. She's not interested.
The camera was in your face. Oh, yeah, now I know who you are. Not.
So. Yeah, like, oh, yeah, you guy. That guy.
Great performances, I think. Everyone was convincing. You'd agree with that?
Yes.
I didn't really feel like anyone was lacking. I thought everyone was very convincing.
Yeah, I just thought TJ Miller was a little forced, but other than that.
Cinematography was good, you know, found footage, but again, shaky at moments. So there's that. Score, there is no score, so there's nothing to talk about on that front. And talk about some of my favorite scenes. You already mentioned that one, HUD blabbing that, you know, they slept together. The army scene in the street when everyone's shooting at the monster is very, like, because they come out of nowhere. Like, HUD's filming, and he looks behind them, and there's just, like, tanks and army men and, like, military, and they all just come and start shooting at the monster. And the monster, what?
Oh, no, go ahead. Finish
up. The monster has that like yelp that it lets out, which was we had it cranked up on the surround sound because we didn't have a baby that night. She went out somewhere. I don't know where she went.
She was partying.
Yeah. And I hadn't watched that movie with the surround sound like that before. And that was a fun experience.
Well, it was also kind of jarring when they are running next to alongside that like, you know how some of the roads in New York, there's like those little bridge roads that kind of go up.
Yeah.
One of those, and they were on one side, and then all of a sudden the monster and like tanks and shit popped out on the other side of that, and you can see it like through the tunnel, and you're like, are they all deaf? Because you'd think you'd hear that shit coming right when it's already there.
That's fair.
So some of that was a little odd, it just suddenly and inexplicably they're surrounded. Like,
what?
How you usually hear gunshots?
You'd think.
You can hear gunshots for miles. I know it's a little less when you're in a city, but it's not 3 feet away.
The monster coming towards Beth's building was great because you were unsure if they were going to, if the monster was going to take. Yeah. You're like, oh God, I don't want to be this high up in the air when that monster coming. When HUD comes face to face with the monster, that was fucking sick because you get a really good shot of the creature's face. And it was very creepy. He had weird, I don't even know. It's just crazy shit on his face.
Did you also feel like the monster changed sizes several times?
Yeah, probably. Because
it was like sometimes it was taller than these buildings, but other times it could somehow leap the height of skyscrapers to get at that helicopter. But other times it was like height of an 11-story building. You're like, what?
It was a little inconsistent.
Yeah. So I feel like they didn't have a specific size in mind to make it convenient for the shots.
Whatever. What are you going to do? Also, this isn't a favorite moment, but if you never noticed this, at the end of the movie, when you see Beth and Rob on the Ferris wheel, if you look to the right of the screen near the ship that is in the distance, you will see something that shoots from the sky into the water. Everyone that has seen this has kind of just assumed it's probably the not a foreshadowing at that moment, because that's at the end of the movie, but that is like that's the monster coming to Earth. That's kind of what people have, you know, surmised from that. Anything else you'd like to say on Cloverfield?
No, I feel like I got all
did a pretty good job on that one. I think we nailed that. So taglines is "Something has found us." Beautiful. Love that. Trivia. Lizzie Kaplan thought this was a romantic movie until her second audition, where she read a scene after she was offered the role. She found out it was a monster movie and the actors weren't allowed to read the script until after they had signed on. Fun time. The running time of the film without credits is 80 minutes, and the length of a long-running mini DV tape is about that much. So that's kind of cool.
Nice.
I like that. The first trailer for this movie played before Transformers 2007. It showed a giant explosion in the heart of New York City and the Statue of Liberty's head being thrown down the street. It was shot on a handheld video recorder. There was no title. That's right.
Yep.
That's right. You already said the thing about the Statue of Liberty. It's actually about 50% larger than the actual size. So, the title was initially a code name for the movie. It's named after Cloverfield Boulevard in Santa Monica, California, where the Bad Robot production offices were located while making the film. Whenever a cameraman, crew member, or TJ Miller as cameraman had an accident on set, they tried to incorporate it into the finished film to add to the realism. The shot where the crowd of people are running from the Brooklyn Brooklyn Bridge in HUD Falls, that's actually cinematographer Mike Bonvillain unintentional falling while shooting.
This is an interesting bit of trivia because I didn't see this when we watched it. So during Marlena's death, most people will catch a squelching sound and her blood being sprayed, but if you slow it down, you will see the shadow of her body not only visibly swell, but after it bursts, you can see that all that is left of her midsection afterwards is probably her spine. I didn't see that at all.
Yeah, I thought her head exploded.
I thought her head exploded too. Couldn't find anything fun with goofs. Rated 7.0 out of 10 on IMDb, 3.4 out of 5 on Letterboxd. Has a certified fresh rating of 78. I think that's supposed to be 87. Pretty sure. 78 or 87 on the tomato meter and a 68% audience score. I gave this a 4. What did you give it?
No, I don't remember. I gave it a 3.5.
Oh, a 3.5. Wow. So not a Frightmare certified slap.
You want me to give it a 4 to help?
No, it's okay. It's okay. Similar movies according to Letterboxd: Godzilla 2014, Godzilla 1998, The Mist, Underwater, and The Cave. Similar movies according to IMDb, we have 10 Cloverfield Lane, The Cloverfield Paradox, 28 Days Later, The Cabin in the Woods, and 28 Weeks Later. Did you find funny reviews?
The best part of this movie is when TJ Miller shuts the fuck up.
Damn it. That was one I had. Damn it.
I like the number of reviews about the battery life of this camera, though.
Yeah, I have one from Axel from Letterboxd. No rating, but a heart. And it says, okay, this movie is a bit of a sleigh. And I have to agree. 3.5 stars from Adam. Moral of the story, don't live in New York. And I have to agree with that because most times shit like that happens is in New York. So don't live in New York.
Yeah, that's true. It's just not safe there.
And lastly from Gaia, 2.5 stars, camera battery goals. Which, I mean, it was only, you know, they only used it for 80 minutes when you think about it. So it's like, you know.
Yeah, but
I'm sure it was probably fully charged when they started using it. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Slasher app at Frightmares Podcast. Our email is stayspooky@outlook.com. Go to redbubble.com/FrightmaresPod. Get you some Frightmares swag, hats, shirts, coffee cups, fucking whatever your heart desires. Mouse pads.
Support the podcast.
Yeah. Our email is stayspooky@outlook.com. You can also follow me personally on Letterboxd at Dr. Proctor. You are
Watson LMP90.
Booyah. Next week, you will be returning, and we are going to be doing a little movie called Slither.
One of my most frequently quoted after watching films.
I can't wait for that. So until then, stay tuned and
stay spooky.